This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, Tony returns. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 22 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Sunday evening?
I am doing pretty well. Incredibly tired today. I had a lot of stuff. Was super busy. Didn't sleep well. So, you know, all that adds up. So, I'm kind of trooping along through this, but I am, you know, I'm doing well. Good day for the Lions. Good weekend for Michigan. It's been a good outing for Tampa as well. So it's all just combining for good couple of days. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing flipping fantastic. And can I tell you why?
Oh, I would love to hear.
Well, for those of you who have listened to the show for a while, you would know that, yes, as Chase mentioned, he is a Lions fan, but I, myself, am a Cincinnati Bengals fan. And no, I'm not a bandwagon. You can go back to the hard days. Back when we were doing season one and the Bengals were absolutely horrible, we didn't have Joe Burrow yet. Still rooting for him there, so don't even start with that. But my gosh, Joe Burrow is the best damn quarterback in the NFL as he takes down the MVP favorite, Pat Mahomes. And now Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are 3-0 against the Pat Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs. The Bengals now sit tied for first in their division. The Ravens do have the tiebreaker. However, Lamar Jackson goes down. Thoughts and prayers out to him. But if he can't go for a little bit, I mean, it's the Bengals' division to take. I'm feeling so good about that team.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, I guess. I'm not happy for my fantasy teams that have Lamar and have Mark Andrews. So that's, you know, that's tough. But yeah, it's I did hear that the Bengals have beat the Chiefs with Joe Burrow every single time by 3 points.
Yep.
That's a crazy stat. That's pretty funny. And, but yeah, no, that's good for you, Mike. I'm happy for you, I guess.
And a great part about it is the first two times we faced the Chiefs, we went down early, came back, got the win. This time it was a little bit different. We got up to an 11-point lead. The Chiefs, they roll back. They get, I think at one point, a 10-point lead. Maybe it was only 7, but the Bengals still able to clutch up and take the win. Tony Romo and Jim Nance the whole time saying, oh, this is a little bit different. The Bengals last time were the team that had to come back and got the victory. Looks like the Chiefs are doing that now. Uh-uh. Not against Joe Burrow, who is Joe Cool. Did you see the last play of the game?
I did not. Like last actual play or when they like spiked the ball? You're
last
saying,
actual
or kneel the ball. Yeah, that I did.
I mean, there was a guy in Joe Burrow's face. I thought he was just getting smoked. I thought it was a sack. He legit had no fear in him whatsoever. Clean pass right to T. Higgins. First down. Got them the win. The composure in that moment just makes me think, is that Tom Brady comparison? Is it real? Is it realistic? I think it might be.
I mean, yes and no, because like they're still different quarterbacks. Like, Burrow's the better athlete of the two. Tom Brady's still got to be, like, he's probably, you know, the smartest football mind to step in on the field and play. So, like, Burrow's got, you know, more time to show that as things go on. And who knows, maybe he will be. But right now, it's a little early to say that he's Tom Brady, you know.
All I got to say is when it comes to the clutch factor, they both get it done. And I think, on average, they are the two fastest release times in the NFL. So both of them just diagnose the play so quickly, get the ball out of their hands, and make plays happen. But this isn't a football show. This is a hockey show. We're on the Bulls broadcast, and we've got a great one for you today. We're going to be talking about Ohtoni, Oracle, Anthony Cirelli being back. Got to talk about Steven Stamkos, captain, my captain, 1,000 points, do a little game review preview after the commercial break. Going to be talking about some news around the league, including we did want to talk about one prospect for the upcoming 2023 draft because his market has just skyrocketed. People are falling in love, and we'll talk about him after the commercial break. But Chase, we'll start it off. Oracle, Anthony Cirelli, back for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, but he's here, he's healthy, he's back. He's going to be rolling with us, hopefully, for the rest of the year with no hiccups. He's such a big part of this team, and it really makes a difference when he's out of the lineup. He's a nice, steady two-way presence. He can bring some offense. He plays well defensively, so it's a great addition to bring him back to the lineup. It'll be really helpful here down the stretch, and like really, this guy, I've talked about it plenty of times, but he really is just underrated, like, around the NHL. I don't think he gets enough credit, and hopefully, you know, he can maybe even elevate his game a little bit more and start getting that credit he deserves. But regardless, he's a great addition, to have back in the lineup.
100%. And you mentioned it's been a long time coming. I feel like we've been talking about Cirelli getting back up to game speed, getting back to action for the last couple of episodes now. We finally can say he'll be back in the lineup. So excited for it, and we can't wait to see him back out there on the ice. Let's not talk about Philippe Myers as he goes on waivers.
Yeah, and really this one's not very surprising. When we saw the addition of Philippe Myers because of the Ryan McDonough trade, I thought that, you know, if he sticks around, it's going to be as a depth defenseman, maybe an AHLer. If they buy him out, then rightfully so, because he's nothing special. And he really has not played very well when he's been with the team. So not too much surprise to see him on waivers. Regardless, however it ends up, whatever his career ends up being, if he, you know, becomes an NHLer again, if he stays in the minors, if he goes over to Europe, wish him the best of luck. But I really don't imagine having much more of an NHL career going forward because he's just really struggled.
Yeah, and it really stinks to see. Really hoping that he can find his stride somewhere, whether that be in the AHL. Maybe he goes over to Europe to play some hockey. Who knows? But still rooting for the guy. Let's now talk about Steven Stamkos. 1,000 points. He hits that against our first game that we'll preview against Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, it was very cool. You got to love Stammer. I mean, the captain still playing so well in this late into his career. It was cool to see him hit that mile marker. You know, it's such a rare milestone to hit. Not many guys can get there. Stamkos is one of the greatest players to play in the league, without a doubt. Is he in the top 100 cap category? Who knows? But you can't say he's not one of the greater players to play in the league. So hats off to him. Hopefully he continues scoring. Maybe he can get to the 1,100 or 1,200 mark.
And you know, Chase, I want to retire something here on the Bolts broadcast because two summers ago, you and I talked about how Steven Stamkos having a little bit of a harder time out there. He wasn't producing at this high level that we know he could. And we mentioned that, hey, maybe down the line, if it continues this way, maybe this is a guy that becomes expendable. And luckily, we were wrong. And, I mean, I don't know how many times we have come back and taken accountability for it and said, you know, we're so happy that Steven Stamkos heard the podcast and said, absolutely not. What are these idiots talking about? But I am so happy that he is doing what he's doing. I think we can finally retire the fact that, yeah, we said it. We said it's something stupid, but we've acknowledged it so many times to the point where Steven Stamkos himself is shooting us a text saying, guys, don't worry about it anymore. So that'll be nice to retire because I feel like anytime we talk about Stamkos hitting a milestone, we bring it up.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to bring it up this time because I was like, we're just moving on from this. Yeah. But fair
putting
enough.
Putting it in the grave we right both, now.
Yeah, I don't know what you said because you might cut out on your end. Sometimes when you yell on Skype, it does that. But anyway, we're moving on, and we're going to pretend like it never happened. Sound good?
Well, I mean, I'm not pretend that it never happened. We know it happened.
Well, no. What happened? I'm confused what you're talking about.
All right, first game against the Philadelphia Flyers. The Tampa Bay Lightning come out with a hot win, 4-1. Chase, you and I talked about how this was a spot, this was a game that maybe we could get rolling a little bit. We had two tough losses against Boston in our past four games prior to this one. Needed to get something moving. Philly was a great opponent to do it against, and we did exactly that.
Yeah, Nick Paul, every once in a while, he's like, you know, I'm going to have myself a game. And today was one of those days. First two goals of the game, played pretty well. He's just such a nice, steady presence for this team. Kind of like, you know, Cirelli is. He's a really great fit in that kind of middle to bottom six role that he plays. Like, he just works really well. And he's a great player. You know, I love rooting for him. So, good for Nick Paul. But, yeah, as a whole, it was just – it was kind of Tampa's game. You know, Philly did the best they could. They kept up in shots. They tried to win the physical battle. But at the end of the day, they got – overwhelmed, especially there in this at the second period, just kind of dominated, and it's really not much of a surprise. I didn't really have many expectations for the Flyers to hold in super well in this game, so the way it turned out, it really can't be a surprise to many.
I agree with you, and Nick Paul, there's a reason he won the Surprise Player Award from the Bolts Broadcast Awards, because he was spectacular at the end of last year, and he's continuing a great pace this year. So, like you said, steady pace. Love to have him on the team. Let's now move over to the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. This one a little bit tighter than the game against Philly, but still coming with the same exact result.
Yeah, 4-3 win. Slightly different, but the same result for us. But the only difference is that we did grant the Toronto Maple Leafs a point in there in our conference, so, you know, changes things up a little bit. But 4-3 overtime win. It was a good win. It's a tough battle whenever you're facing Toronto. It was at home, which is a nice benefit, but nonetheless, Toronto, they're a very worthy opponent, and they really did their best to try to squeeze this game away. But Killorn, you got the overtime winner. Still playing pretty well. Anthony Cirelli did very well in this game too. He's already up to 2 points on the year, so it's things that you love to see right there. But overall, I mean, other than, you know, I guess that we're going to talk about a little later in the show, we're going to save it for later. It was just a good, solid, exciting game and a good win for the Lightning.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it any better than you did right there, Chase. Let's now move on to our only game to preview this week, and that's against this episode, and that'll be against the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday night. Now, the Red Wings were a team the past couple of years that we'd be like, all right, this is another game where, you know, we can keep it rolling. We can really extend our winning streak here as the Tampa Bay Lightning. But the Red Wings are a little bit different this year. They've really been able to get some good wins. And this is a team that's been on the rise. What are we thinking here? Is this just an easy matchup, kind of how we saw Philly? Or are we thinking this might be a closer matchup than what the betting odds might say?
I don't think it's like, oh, this is just such an easy matchup, you know, like you're gonna steamroll them. But I also don't think like, holy hell, like we're gonna have trouble. I still think Tampa's gonna win this game. I saw that Ty Bertuzzi is gonna be out for a few weeks for the Red Wings, so that's a loss in their lineup. And they've been playing really well this year. They've got a lot of talent. If you look at the numbers, you know, Ville Husso is playing really well for them. But let's be honest, we're still out of matching them. Vasilevsky is still looking for his first shutout on the year. You know, it's got to come at some point. I'm making my call, my statement, planting the flag. If Vasilevsky plays in this game, he's grabbing the shutout.
Wow. I love it. I love the hot take out of you, Chase. And I'll just tag along. You know, I think this is going to be a good Tampa win, and that'll officially put us on a new win streak, taking 3 in a row. So we're excited for that. Stay tuned for that game on Tuesday. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame moneyline on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. If you have any sports betting needs, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. And I mean, there's a lot to bet on when it comes to sports right now. All these NHL matchups. You got the college football playoffs officially coming up. Can't wait for that. The NFL's in full swing, and they're really getting down to the wire on who's going to be taking those wild cards. So a lot of stuff to bet on. If you do, make sure to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook. But Chase, let's now talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know this isn't a Penguin show, but they did reveal their Winter Classic jerseys, and there's just a big difference when you look at Stadium Series jerseys and Winter Classic jerseys. I think the more old-school vibe of the Winter Classic theme and jerseys are just spectacular, and I think the same exact goes for this year's Penguins.
So you're a big fan, eh?
I am. I love the classic, you know, P with the white jersey, the two black stripes. I like the yellow helmet. I'm sure you probably have a gripe with it. I know with you saying, oh, you like it, that must mean you're a hater, but I love the old-school vibe of it, and that's just me. You know, I'm not a futuristic guy. We looked at some of the, alternate jerseys that have come out this year, and any of the ones that are a little bit futuristic, haven't been a big fan.
So I'm a guy who really, I don't have specific preference. I like jerseys that try to get bold, unique, like, you know, the reverse retros for the Coyotes. I really like those jerseys. I also like the classics. I love, you know, like the old-fashioned Nordiques jerseys. I love seeing the Toronto St. Pat's jerseys. I like good hockey jerseys. And this one, it's at best to me perfectly fine, especially when you combine the yellow helmet with it. I really hate when teams don't match their helmets with their gloves and their pants. So to see this yellow helmet with the blue pants, blue gloves really pisses me off. And I know they're trying to pay, like, you know, like tribute to their original branding. They were the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the 1920s and maybe even 30s, but it just, I don't know. It's boring. The stripes are boring. It's just a big P. Like it's boring.
Yeah. Can't agree with you there. Love the old school vibe, and it's a more of a cream than an actual white. And then you look at Boston on the other side, they go their old school logo, love their jerseys as well. And I think it's going to be a fun matchup in Fenway Park.
I definitely like Boston's much better than the Penguins, but I still think there's, like, better routes to go. Like, I really – that Iceberg Penguins logo is one of my favorite logos in the history of sports. Like, I wish they just leaned into that more and used that more places. But nonetheless, like, it's still going to be an entertaining game. I would think it should be a pretty good Winter Classic. The Bruins are rolling. The Penguins are still a competitive team. Got Sid and everything. So, who knows? Maybe I like him better on the ice.
And I get the Iceberg point, but at the same time, they just reversed the reverse retros, or just released the reverse retros that had it. Can you go two brand new jerseys back-to-back with that same Iceberg Penguin logo? I don't know. I get why they go the P route here.
I mean, you could. You definitely could, but, you know.
Sure. All right, let's talk about two records now. We got Luke Shen and Mitch Marner.
Yeah, so we'll start off with – that's the order you read him in. We'll start off with Luke Shen. He sets a record for hits in a game by an NHL defenseman. He had six hits, which honestly doesn't seem like that much to me. Like when I play NHL, like I got guys 11, 12 hits every game. I'm just running around just mucking people. So it seems like a low number. I'm surprised that six is the most by defense. But defenseman in a single game. But sure enough, he's got it. So it's a nifty little stat to own. Good for him.
Yeah, six does seem low. When you said it, I'm like, did he misread what he had down or what?
No.
What was it? Did you miss say? Six. Wow.
Yeah, just six, man. It's very strange.
Sure is. And Mitch Marner. He sets a Leafs record, not as big as an NHL record like Luke Shen, but a Leafs record still solid.
Yeah, I mean, a 19-game point streak. He had it extended against us and set the record against the Lightning in that game, as I kind of alluded to. It's really impressive what he's done. You know, hats off to Marner. He was someone that, like, he kind of got dogged on a little bit early in his career. People thought he was going to be underwhelming. But, like, I always knew this kid was going to at least be a very good NHLer, but he's pretty much become, at worst, a star, maybe a borderline superstar. Works really well with that team with what they got going in that top six. He fits perfectly for the way they play, and he's just been playing really well over these last, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks, however long it's been that since it started, and the streak lives on. I wonder how long he can keep it going. I would like to see him keep it going. You know, maybe he can threaten to break Gretzky's, like, 53-game record he has. Maybe that exists. Who knows?
That might be a little bit of a stretch, but
maybe.
I love to see it out of Mitch Marner, because ever since Matthews has come in, it's always felt like Marner's kind of been that second guy, not a 1A, 1B type, but no, just the number two. And Tavares came in, maybe he got slotted back to number three. This is a guy who has been overshadowed by some of his teammates, but has consistently been a great producer for the Leafs. So really happy to see Marner having some notoriety here with a 19-game point streak.
Yeah, he's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the team. But, you know, at the end of the day, the redheaded stepchild, she gets it done.
Sure does. All right, let's talk about Leo Carlson. This is a 2023 NHL draft prospect. If you haven't heard the name yet, a little bit shocked, but you definitely will starting soon, because everyone has been talking about him over the last couple of weeks. This is a guy who has shot up draft boards, and it's not like he was, you know, down in the 20s or 25s. He was a very highly touted prospect, but now there's talk that he is rivaling Matvei Mishkov, rivaling Adam Fantilli for that number two spot in this upcoming draft.
So, yes, Leo Carlson is awesome. He's playing great. He's a big-bodied, like, skilled playmaking-type center who's got the ability to put the puck in the net, too. That's all great. That's exciting. I can tell you for free, I can definitely not get behind drafting him above Adam Fantilli, because Adam Fantilli is the most surefire second overall pick in the history of the NHL, just because Connor Bedard's arguably the most surefire first overall pick in the history of the NHL. But Adam Fantilli goes first overall in every draft over the last 10 years, except for maybe Connor McDavid. I would personally take the way Fantilli's playing right now over Austin Matthews. That could be a decision, because Austin Matthews is obviously a superstar, but I think Adam Fantilli's locked and loaded being that dude. So I can't put Leo Carlson above him for sure. And I can understand the argument for drafting Leo Carlson over Matvei Mishkov, because you got better chance at immediate impact, and I think he is an immediate impact type of player. Maybe he needs 1 year development, maybe he needs some American League games, but I think he's someone who's playing for your team at least year two of him being drafted. But Matvei Mishkov is just this dynamic talent, and he's been beat up a little bit this year, hasn't gotten to play a ton, but every time he's played in the lower leagues, he just dominated. You know, playing in the VHL, it's a very hard league to play in, hard league to score in, 12 points through 8 games. He's gotten KHL games again. He'll continue to get some more, and I think once he gets to the World Juniors, he'll kind of settle that debate a little bit, because they're still not playing in the World Juniors. It's crap. It's right. But anyway, once he gets that more opportunity, because he's getting he's getting the KHL treatment, where he's getting buried on a really good team, so he's not getting the type of looks. But if teams pass on him, they're gonna be mistaken. So I really can't put Leo Carlson there. Leo Carlson at my number four spot, it's very fair. Like I think he's earned that, but I'm definitely not taking him above my top three.
What do you think Leo Carlson could be in the future when it comes to projecting his ceiling and maybe even his floor? Like, where do you think he could slot in when it comes to NHL lineups?
So I think he's a lock and loaded NHLer. I think that floor, he'll end up being a middle six complimentary scoring type guy, but I realistically think he's a number one center, and that goes for every single center, like between him, Bedard, and Adam Fantilli. I think all these guys are surefire number one centers. Matvei Mishkov, a surefire number one winger. I think Bedard and Fantilli have that more dynamic ability, where Leo Carlson, I think he's more skilled than Dylan Larkin, but, like, you know, Dylan Larkin, he gets like 70 points a year for the wings. I think that it would be the same thing for Leo Carlson. Like, he as a guy that can consistently get you the 70-point range, which you'll happily take from one of your top players. But will he ever be the 100-point guy? I'm not quite there.
Gotcha. We're going to be doing a lot more draft talk as we continue to get closer. And once World Juniors kicks off, we'll be talking about a lot of the draft-eligible guys and how they're performing when it comes to World Juniors. So if you're interested in that, stay tuned to the Bolts broadcast. But you're going to be hearing a lot more of Leo Carlson as we continue on into the season because he's really playing well. But that's going to do it for the show. Yeah. We're going to go to a hockey name of the day. Ooh, we got a little Luke Van Wy.
Yes, sir. Nice, simple, and easy. Luke Van Wy, 2003 defenseman playing in the North American Hockey League for the Maryland Black Bears. He just recently committed to Robert Morris University, so congrats to him. He's going to play Division I college hockey. Maybe someone that we see on the NHL radars down the road. Not someone that you should expect to be a draft pick by any means. As you know, already as an 03, he's going into his third draft year. Don't really expect him to be picked, but someone that can maybe earn a contract down the road. He's got a solid history of scoring. Seems like a pretty good defenseman, but doesn't seem like some groundbreaking type of guy. But who knows? Maybe he's a late bloomer. Maybe we'll see him down the road.
Sounds like a name that's trying to make fun of James Van Riemsdyk and the last name there. It's like, I'm going to put Van. Why would you put Van? You know?
That's fair. That's fair. I like that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
As always, thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us on Patreon, that'd be great. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, you can follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure you go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all the podcasts on the network right there. Boom, click the logo, listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. Whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Talk to you next time.